Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. This weekend offers Tulsans a chance to see the work of our city's burgeoning maker movement as the Fab Lab Tulsa presents their second Mini Maker Fair this Saturday. What is a maker fair? Well, in the words of the founders of the maker movement, it's the world's largest show and tell. And in the case of the Tulsa Maker Fair, it will involve craftspeople, tinkerers, engineers, radio hams, school organizations, all demonstrating everything from robotics, digital fabricators, 3D printing, and sustainable engineering designs to furniture makers, weavers, fabric art, jewelers, and fashion designs to digital ham radio to remote-controlled airplanes, model railroaders, and custom-built guitars, all built and made and created in our city. While the Fab Lab Tulsa is thought to cater to users for high technology equipment and tools, a mini maker fair offers makers from traditional crafts to those new technologies a chance to show and talk about their passion for creation. To tell us about the maker fair, the maker movement in Tulsa, and the work of the Fab Lab in helping these makers, I'm joined by Nathan Pritchett, who's the executive director of the Hardesty Center for Fab Lab Tulsa. Fab Lab Tulsa presents the Mini Maker Fair this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Expo Square in the Expo Center's Central Park Hall. Nathan Pritchett is my guest today here on Studio Tulsa. Nathan Pritchett, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, I've heard a lot about maker fairs, and the big ones occur like around Silicon Valley in New York and probably Los Angeles and several places in Europe. What exactly is a maker fair?
They describe a maker fair as a show and tell, and that's really where it starts. What we do is we encourage people to come out. There are all types of makers, a large scope of makers. You have traditional craftsmen, you have people who do sewing, you have people interested in electronics and technology. And what we ask them to do is come out for a single day and come out to the same place and start sharing their passion for their interest and their hobby with everyone else.
Do you have backyard emitters? You know, I mean, there's the guy tinkering around in the garage and making a product of some sort?
Oh, absolutely. It's a massive spectrum of people. It will range anywhere from, you know, a local hobbyist, a tinkerer, all the way up to professionals and engineers, and even craftsmen, artists. It's really just a wide spectrum of people and interest.
You mentioned arts and craftsmen. So you consider that part of the maker movement as well? Do you have people like doing fiber art or...
Absolutely.
Or making furniture or making... Is it the traditional arts or does it have to be something innovative of some sort?
No. So maker fairs are inclusive of everyone. And I think that's one of the big differences is a lot of people associate Fab Lab Tulsa, especially with technology and 21st century innovation. But a maker fair is really much larger than that. We even consider children to be makers. If you can cut paper and pencil and use glue and build something together, you're a maker. And so this maker movement is larger than just electronics. It's larger than just new technology. It includes any type of making.
Can it be, you know, old technology that has sort of been supplanted and, you know, that requires handmade making?
Of course. Sometimes we call this hacking. So hacking...
What is hacking?
Well, hacking... In a software sense, often had a negative connotation, but in a physical sense, it's repurposing old pieces. So, for example, in our lab, we keep a basket full of old computer parts and technology. You might find an old speaker in there. So if your project needs a speaker, you don't have to go to the store and buy it. You just repurpose something that would have ended up in the trash in a landfill.
Interesting. And there's a whole class of making that's involved with sort of recycling objects and creating new objects out of them.
Yeah, so we call it repurposing or tinkering. And there can be a lot learned, especially for children. A lot of our STEM youth programs, we actually encourage them to take these things apart and see how they're made. We have a generation that was kind of taught to be consumers and not necessarily makers. And even though kids carry around a cell phone in their pocket, they don't really have a clear understanding of what the components are inside that phone.
I think that goes for a lot of adults, too.
But if you break it apart, you're going to find a battery and a CPU and a memory and an input and output device and an antenna. And when you start really getting down to the nuts and bolts of it, it actually becomes very simple.
All right. Well, we're hoping a lot of people come out to this mini maker fair. Now, you call it a mini maker fair. A maker fair involves thousands and thousands of exhibitors.
Absolutely. So the maker fair movement was started by Make Magazine. A couple of years ago, we were fortunate enough to have Dale Dougherty, the publisher and founder of Make Magazine, come and visit and speak here in Tulsa. And that's how we got to know him and know more about the Maker Faire movement. And Make Magazine hosts three full-scale Maker Faires. One is in the San Francisco area, one is in New York, and a new one is in Rome. And so what they do, though, is they wanted to expand this down to the regional and the local level. So we licensed the Maker Faire brand, if you will, from Make Magazine. So we're just like one of these big, large Maker Faires. For example, the one in San Francisco goes for several days, 3 to 5 days, has hundreds of thousands of people come to visit it over those days, and has thousands of actual makers. And this is simply a scaled-down, localized version. So what we're trying to do is promote this maker movement here in Tulsa, get the people that are in your own backyard. These people are living on the same street. They're tucked away in a garage or an office somewhere, really working on their passions. And this gives them all a chance to come out for one day and share and exchange their ideas with other people.
Give us a range of some of the things we're going to see at this mini maker fair this weekend.
We're going to see a huge variety of things, all the way down for children's exhibits. So we will have the Tulsa Children's Museum there. They'll be doing a glider program. We will have the Tulsa Regional STEM Alliance there. We'll also have technology, Fab Lab. We'll have a group from Oklahoma City called Prototech, which is a makerspace. We'll have the Geeks OK group. So there'll be a lot of technology.
So those sound like more like demonstrations as opposed to actual makers, or is it a combination of both?
No, that is the biggest part about Maker Faires. When we call it a show and tell, we want people to show what you're doing. So if you're expecting a traditional trade show where you see flyers and papers sitting on a desk, that's not what you're going to find at Maker Faire. We select makers who are willing to share what they do or demonstrate it.
So, now, see, that's the whole thing I think is really interesting, because a lot of times makers are doing it for the fun of it, but other times they're doing it as a possible business. And if you're showing off your product before all the ducks are in a row, all of a sudden you're liable for theft.
That might have been true in the past, but today's economy moves much quicker and people are more willing to collaborate and share. And I think that's one of the advantages. There's this huge democratization of technology going on today. A person can purchase a computer for $200 or $300. You can download a piece of software for free. You can watch a YouTube video and train and teach yourself how to do 3D design. You can come into a Fab Lab, and for a few hundred dollars, you can buy a membership and you can rapid prototype this product. And you can actually collaborate with this kind of open source design world that we're living in today and share these ideas. And because it's so much quicker and easier to get these products going, you don't really have to worry about the older version of entrepreneurship where you were worried about patents and protection. It's a much more free form type of doing concepts.
Is the Maker Faire sort of a collaborative idea in action where, you know, you have a pretty good idea and all of a sudden there's another guy who has another idea and you put them together and all of a sudden you have a great idea? Is that the idea?
Yeah, we call these touch points. And so what we hope to do is we hope to get enough of these kind of sparks together that something great comes of it. And there are lots of people in Tulsa working on ideas like this. There's an organization called Cultivate 918, specific to entrepreneurship. And that organization is trying to do exactly that. If we can put an engineer in a room with an artist and a designer, and in the same room add a web developer, and in the same room add a marketer and a finance person, and if we can get them and get this spark going, we don't know what we might see that might come of that.
Sounds like a new business.
And I think this is the way the new generation is going to do entrepreneurship. They're going to do it as a collaboration.
Well, how many exhibitors are going to have for this mini maker fair this
week? We have 65 makers registered to attend, and this is a great, great number for the size of our city. This actually puts us in one of the top 10 maker fairs here in the U.S. for our size.
Is there a predominant sort of theme among those 65 makers, or is it really spread across the whole, like from high technology to sort of your backyard inventor to arts and crafts and things like that?
It spreads the entire spectrum. So we'll have groups like the glue daubers who do their remote control airplanes. We'll have the Tulsa Railroad, Backyard Railroad Club. We'll have Alan Drum, who does sewing. We'll have the Made Indie Emporium, these types of groups that do more traditional crafts, all the way up to high tech and so forth.
Now, of course, the Fab Lab is a big part of this maker movement. And I assume you're getting the same sort of collaboration among the members of the Fab Lab here in Tulsa, where they're, you know, somebody has a decent idea, a couple other people join in, and it all of a sudden becomes a better idea.
We do. We've had a great track record of success with entrepreneurship. It's interesting. If I was to ask our members, we have just a little over 300 members right now, to self-identify themselves. Most of them identify themselves as hobbyists or tinkers. But the reality is they're all potential entrepreneurs and potential companies, just depending on their idea. Last year, we had two of our members who were finalists in the TCC Startup Cup. In fact, they won first and second place. So that was the two guys, bow ties, won second place, and the Clean NG guys took first place. And this year, again, we have two of our members who have made it into the final. And one is a really interesting company, and this is pretty typical of what we see. It's a company called OpLeft. He is a former military person who did forward operating for Cannon Fire. And one of the things I didn't really realize about the military is we assume they're very high tech. They use a lot of GPS coordinates, but they actually send these guys out in the field with maps and rulers.
Maps and slide rules, probably.
Yes, absolutely. And it's very important to know where your enemy is and their position to you and to make sure that you're not too close. And so he's designed and engineered and rapid prototyped a new ruler that makes that job easier for those people in the field. And he sold 500 units last month. And so a story like that doesn't happen without this type of facility available to its community.
Now, for those who don't know what the Fab Lab is, what exactly is at a Fab Lab? I think a lot of people hear the new buzzword is 3D printing. Now,
yes.
What all is at a Fab Lab that inventors come and tinkerers come to use the facility? What is special about it?
3D printing is certainly part of it, but it's really larger than that. Fab Lab stands for Fabrication Laboratory, and we are an MIT chartered Fab Lab. And at MIT is a center called the
Center for Bits and
Yes, the Center for
Bits
and
Atoms.
Uh-huh. And so the Fab Lab was developed as an outside program from the Center of Bits and Atoms. And their focus was using digital tools to create real life products. And so what we do at a Fab Lab is we use computer design, 2D and 3D design, and we combine that with these 21st century technology and machines to create real physical products. And so you'll find 3D printers, you'll find laser cutters, you'll find older technology like vinyl cutters. We have a CNC router and a mill. But they all follow this bits to atoms approach to manufacturing. And it's really a 21st century type of view of the world of manufacturing.
So you can come up with a plastic prototype of an object you've designed, or it sounds like you can do fabrication.
Yes, you can.
And you can do you could do old woodwork, it sounds like, or highly skilled computerized woodwork.
No, that's exactly right. One of the ways I just try to describe Fab Lab is we are a community center, and we're very much like a library, but instead of having books, we have tools and machinery, and they're typically the kinds of machines that people can't afford to have on your own. So we may have a $30,000 investment in a CNC router and mill. And companies own these machines, but they don't let individuals play on them.
And
most of us aren't going to keep one of these in our garage. And so by putting it in a community center, we then make it available to everyone.
All right. My guest today is Nathan Pritchett. He's executive director of the Hardesty Center for Fab Lab Tulsa. Fab Lab Tulsa will be presenting a mini maker fair with about 65 exhibitors this Saturday from 10 to 6 at the Expo Center's Central Park Hall. And I've heard a lot of things about these maker fairs where it's the most fantastical ideas, some with very practical applications, and others are just sort of whimsical. Do we have a strong robotics community here? Or because I know in San Francisco, that's a big part of a maker fairs. Robotics is so huge out there. Do we have those similar movements here?
We do. So a lot of robotics starts in the middle school and high school levels, and we will have the Oklahoma First Robotics joining us. They call it OKSEF, and they will be out there demonstrating that. So if you have a middle schooler, child, or high school student who you think might be interested in robotics, this is your chance to come out and see what their programs do. They also go all the way down to Lego robotics. In addition to that, we are going to have a couple of the high school robotics teams out there. Booker T. Washington will be there with their robot. It's a fantastic robot. It actually throws basketballs through a hoop. So there is a lot of that, and there's a lot of interest in that. On the education side, we will have some representatives from a couple of the area colleges, specifically TCC, Tulsa Community College. They'll be bringing out their electronic car and their electronic motorcycle, which is amazing. I don't know whether we'll get a chance to do any real burnouts indoors, but you won't want to miss coming out and getting a chance to see that.
I would think FabLab works very closely with the various STEM programs here in this part of the state. How important is the FabLab to augment science, technology, engineering, and mathematical education here in the area?
Our STEM program is grown amazingly fast. So to give you an idea of the growth just in the STEM area, in our first year, we opened in September of 2011, and we saw 65 students in that four-month period. During 2012, we saw a little over 800 students. In 2013, we saw 2,600 student visits. And this year, so far this year, we're on pace to see about 3,600. What we know is that children are learning science and math in school, but it may not be as applied and it may not be as relevant to the real world. So what FabLab Tulsa does is we focus on the area of making sure that these students have access to the technology that their schools generally can't provide. And we also focus on the engineering process, teaching their students how these types of processes work. So how you would take an idea or a problem, brainstorm about the solutions, set your design requirements, do your non-negotiables, build a rapid prototype, and take that product and then evaluate it. And also through this understanding that products in the real world go through ideation and they continue to evolve. Most of your students will know that, for example, the iPhone in their pocket is a fifth-generation iPhone.
Right.
But they don't really recognize that this is the fifth time Apple has gone around this idea design process. And that's really something that's really valuable to them is it doesn't matter what you're making. It doesn't matter whether you are making a piece of hardware. It doesn't matter whether you're designing software. It doesn't matter if you're writing a paper. You should be rewriting your writing or doing logos or artwork. If you will continue to ideate and continue to work on your ideas, they'll become better and better.
You know, I think that's one of the big changes in technology today because when I think of like mid-century, a lot of the improvement was marketing.
Yes.
instead of product improvement. But now today in a 21st century environment, it's really product engineering changes. You have to continue to do that because otherwise the competition curve is so short now that you're going to find yourself obsolete much more quicker.
It is very competitive. Even at the high end, even these most successful companies have a lot of competition. And you're exactly right. So it is going to be more competitive. It's going to be more global. And they do have to move quicker and faster.
I think the Fab Lab helps in that regard. And I kind of, getting back to that idea of that sort of collegial atmosphere and the fact that there's collaborative atmospheres, do you have various tinkerers, people coming in, they see what somebody else is doing and they comment? Is it that sort of atmosphere at a Fab Lab?
Yes, and that atmosphere is there on purpose. It's actually part of the FabLab charter. So if you come into our space, what you'll first find is that it's wide open from beginning to end. There are no walls. There's no barriers. And what we've done is we've developed these kind of islands. Groups today work most efficiently with 6 to 8 people. And so we create an island effect where about 6 to 8 people can sit around the table. They face one another. And without walls, you're able to see what the guy next to you is doing. And you can ask questions. And people start to communicate and collaborate and to help one another. And so there is this sense that we're all in it together. If we can suggest an idea, work with one another, that the end product will be better.
And you mentioned the OpLeft group that has sort of created a business out of the Fab Lab. Have there been other businesses as well? I think you mentioned one or two others, the bow tie guys, right?
Yeah. They're
is that actually, the wooden bow tie guys?
Yeah, the wooden two guys bow ties, absolutely. There are a lot of businesses that use the lab that kind of go under the radar as well. So not only do we have entrepreneurial startup companies that are trying to get started, but we also have mid-level and very successful companies. One of the biggest companies that uses our lab every month is actually Whole Foods Market. So they use it to do their marketing display. So the next time you walk through the Whole Foods on 41st Street, if you look up at the ceiling and you see those vegetables that are cut out of cardboard, that's a program they've done here in Tulsa that's only available because we have this Fab Lab as an asset for them. And they will recycle their cardboard, bring it over from the store, cut it into shapes that they then use for their marketing. We have lots of architectural firms and design studios that use the lab for modeling and those types of things. So in the past, they may have had to have outsourced that to another company or to another city even.
Or in that case, I guess it would be more of a, like a building a model in the traditional sense of a house or like, you know, a car or whatever. And now all of a sudden you're doing a 3D print of it?
Yes, it can be done in a 3D print.
Or plastic? Or
So we have several different types of 3D printers. We use some MakerBots that use a plastic filament, PLA or SLA, printer filament. And then we also have a commercial grade printer that uses a polycarbonate.
And so they can create a model of the project they're designing, and people can get a sense of it at probably a fraction of the cost and time to have it traditionally modeled.
Yes, and that includes all rapid prototyping. So you can imagine that our 3D printer, we use it's an object printer. Object was recently bought by Stratasys, but it's an older version. If you were tooling a product, you may spend $5,000 to $8,000 to create a mold out of steel or metal to recreate that product. Whereas in this rapid prototyping 3D printing environment, we can do the same thing for about $300. And it could be ready in an afternoon. So you still do your digital design in your traditional method, but you send it to a 3D printer. It does a rapid prototype. You're able to get it back that evening, test it, evaluate it, look at it, make sure it does everything you want it to do. And you can go through a lot of these rapid prototyping processes in that regard very inexpensively before you ever go to the full cost of a more traditional type of molding process.
My guest today is Nathan Pritchett. He's the executive director of the Fab Lab Tulsa, the Hardesty Center for Fab Lab. Fab Lab is presenting a mini maker fair this Saturday from 10 to 6 at the Expo Center's Central Park Hall. Feature a variety of inventors, tinkerers, people making interesting things, sometimes for fun, sometimes for profit, and everything in between, I would assume, as well as there'll be a lot of demonstrations from a lot of STEM groups, as well as just people that love to create things. And I guess this is the Fab Lab has been a hub for a wide variety of groups that are making, and it becomes sort of a central receiving, if you will, for a lot of these different groups.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, this maker movement's even bigger than Fab Lab. So while Fab Labs focus on this 21st century technology, we recognize that we're not in this alone. There are a wide variety of makers doing a wide variety of things. Sometimes we see them, we may not be making their product, but they may be making the tools that they use to make their product. Mm. And so it really is just a huge spectrum of different types of people and interests. I do want to say, too, we do have 3 stage shows that will be taking place. At noon, we're going to have Professor McCoy's physics experiment. So if you haven't
Jerry
seen
McCoy
him
from the University of Tulsa,
he will be there performing for about an hour. So that will be a can't miss. At 2 p.m., we're going to have a representative from the Oklahoma Science Museum in Oklahoma City come over, and they'll be doing another type of science experiment. And then just to give you an idea of the difference, at 4 o'clock, we're going to have Tokyo and Tulsa doing a cosplay event. And so you really do get this sense of how wide the scope is of this maker movement.
And there's a lot of making involved in that Tokyo thing. I mean, there's people making costumes, making all sorts of things involved with those role plays.
It's large. Some of them are sewing. Some of them are actual suits of armor. And so they use a lot of different techniques. If you can imagine, if you are going to be a rocket man, that you might need more of a suit of armor type of molded piece. If you're going to be one of your favorite characters, it might be sewing. There's also lots of weapons and extra pieces that they spend a lot of time working on. Mm. And we see a lot of those people come through the Fab Lab.
Really? Yeah, that's interesting. Is there a lot of collaborations with the area universities?
There is. So we have great relationships with the University of Tulsa, with OU Tulsa, and also with Tulsa Community College, specifically their Center for Creativity downtown.
What, is there a particular age for kids that this is really geared towards? I mean, young elementary kids or maybe later elementary, middle school, high school, what exactly?
No, everyone will find something they can like. This is what we call an all-age event. Maker fairs are very interesting because about 90% of the people who come will come with their family or come with their friends. And so this is really a chance for everyone to come. You should be bringing your children, your grandchildren, whatever age you are. This is a chance to come out and see people. You're going to see people that are really passionate about their hobbies and their interest. And the great thing is they're there for this day to share and show you what they do.
All right. Well, the maker movement continues to grow, and you can see examples of how it's growing in our area at the Mini Maker Fair this Saturday from 10 to 6 at the Expo Center's Central Park Hall. Nathan Pritchett, how do people learn more about the Fab Lab?
So our website is fablabtulsa.com, and all of our information is there. And then if you're interested in learning more about the Maker Fair website is makerfairtulsa.com. I should also note that we do accept registrations, and so you can go to our site and hit register now, and you can be included in a series of door prizes. And this year, all of our door prizes are around flight, so we'll be giving away drones and other things that take to the air.
All right. Well, that sounds cool. I would imagine drones is a big area now.
It is. So there are a lot of people with a great deal of interest in drones. It's very exciting.
All right. Well, Nathan, appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Nathan Pritchett is the executive director of the Hardesty Center for Fab Lab Tulsa. Fab Lab Tulsa presents a Mini Maker Fair, their second annual, this Saturday from 10 to 6 at Expo Square Central Park Hall. For information on Fab Lab Tulsa, visit their website at fablabtulsa.com. For information on the Mini Maker Fair, the address is makerfairtulsa.com, and fair is spelled with an extra E after the R. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime to listen to on demand or just to get more information about what you heard. That's available at our website, publicradiotulsa.org, and search for Studio Tulsa, or you can search through the archives for older episodes as well. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.